Yavat. As it is. Sakya. Friend. Sakyuhu. Unto the friend. Iva. Like that. Isha. O Lord. Te. You. Kritaha. Have accepted. Praja. The living entities. Visarge. In the matter of creation. Vipajami. As I shall do it differently. Bohom. O my Lord. Janam. Those who were born. Aviklavaha. Without being perturbed. Te. Your. Parikarmani. In the matter of service. Stitaha. Thus situated. Ma. May it never be. May. Unto me. Asamudnada. Resulting arise. Madaha. Madness. Aja. O unborn one. Mananaha. Thus being thought of. Translation. O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me, just as a friend does with a friend, as of equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation. But I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the supreme. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Lord Brahma is definitely situated in the humor of friendship with the Lord. Every living being is eternally related with the personality of Godhead in one of five different transcendental humors, namely, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. We have already discussed these five kinds of humors in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is clearly exhibited herein that Lord Brahma is related to the personality of Godhead in the transcendental humor of friendship. A pure devotee may be related with the Lord in any one of the transcendental humors, even in the humor of parenthood. But the devotee of the Lord is always a transcendental servitor. No one is equal to or greater than the Lord. That is the version of the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmaji, although eternally related with the Lord in the transcendental humor of friendship, and although entrusted with the most exalted post of creating different grades of living entities, is still conscious of his position. That he is neither the Supreme Lord nor supremely powerful. It is possible that some extremely powerful personality within or without the universe may sometimes show more power than the Lord himself. Still, the pure devotee knows that this power is a vibhuti delegated by the Lord, and such a delegated, powerful living entity is never independent. Sri Hanumanji crossed the Indian Ocean by jumping over the sea, and Lord Sri Ramchandra engaged himself in marching over the bridge. But this does not mean that Hanumanji was more powerful than the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives extraordinary powers to his devotee, but the devotee knows always that the power belongs to the personality of Godhead and that the devotee is only an instrument. The pure devotee is never puffed up like the non-devotee class of men who falsely think that they are God. It is astonishing to see how a person who is being kicked by the laws of the Lord's illusory energy at every step can falsely think of becoming one with the Lord. Such thinking is the last snare of the illusory energy offered to the conditioned soul. The first illusion is that he wants to become the Lord of the material world by accumulating wealth and power. But when he is frustrated in that attempt, he wants to become one with the Lord. So both becoming the most powerful man in the material world and desiring to become one with the Lord are different illusory snares. Snare means in English trap. And because the pure devotees of the Lord are surrendered souls, they are above the illusory snares of Maya. Because Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, even though the first dominating deity in the material world and therefore able to do many wonderful things, he would never, like the non-devotee with a poor fund of knowledge, have the audacity to think of becoming one with the Lord. People with a poor fund of knowledge should take lessons from Brahma when they are puffed up with the false notion of becoming God. Factually, Lord Brahma does not create the living entities. In the beginning of the creation, he is empowered to give different bodily shapes to the living entities according to their work during the last millennium. Brahmaji's duty is just to wake the living entities from their slumber and to engage them in their proper duty. The different grades of living entities are not created by Brahmaji by his capricious whims. Capricious means it's just like by his inventive or will, whimsy. You understand whimsy? I think you have a similar word. Whimsy, capricious, you know, he just decides to do it. There's no plan or anything like that. He's just spontaneous. But he is entrusted with the task of giving the living entities different grades of bodies so they can work accordingly. And still he is conscious that he is only instrumental so that he may not think of himself as the supreme, powerful Lord. Devotees of the Lord are engaged in the specific duty offered by the Lord, and such duties are successfully carried out without hindrance because they are ordained by the Lord. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. But persons with a poor fund of knowledge take the credit of success into their own accounts and give nothing to the credit of the Lord. That is a symptom of the non-devotee class of men. So Omagana Timananda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it's very obvious what Brahma's praying for here. He's praying to not become bewildered in the performance of his activities. Now, Brahma's performance of activities is quite different than our performance of activities. In other words, Brahma is the chief living entity in this material world. And so he has a lot of power. You know, actually, he has four heads. And his four heads he's seen in all sorts of different directions. And basically speaking, all the living entities come from him. You know, he's the father of everybody in this material world. Of course, Krishna says in the Gita, Ahambija Pradapita, that Krishna is actually the seed-giving father of everybody. But still, Lord Brahma pretty much is functioning, you know, without too many other people working with him. Because he's the first entity in this creation, and his direct spiritual master is Krishna. Because he was born from the navel, just like you have this description given that Lord Brahma was born from the navel lake of Lord Vishnu, the lotus flower, and then he meditated, he got Lord Vishnu's instruction of tapa, tapa, austerity, austerity. And then, after that, he saw Krishna. This is what's being described here. Krishna shook his hand. After that, he got intelligence on how to create. Tene Brahma Rala Yad Adi Kavye is described in the Bhagavatam, instructions from the heart. So, I mean, he's really up there. As far as gurus, as far as personalities, he's really up there. So he's really fearful of falling in Maya. It's interesting that this is actually the only fear a real devotee has. He's not fearful. It's like Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad Maharaj was saved by Lord Nrisingadev, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Lord Nrisingadev, you know, I'm not afraid of your form, Lord Nrisingadev. And Prahlad Maharaj wasn't even afraid of his father. I mean, Hiranyakashipu was a pretty big guy. I mean, pretty big guy. He controlled the whole universe, kicked out the demigods, tried to torture his son, kill his son in different ways. And still, Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of you, Lord Nrisingadev. Actually, all the demigods, they were afraid of Lord Nrisingadev because he was real angry. Even Lakshmi, she was afraid. He said, the only thing I'm afraid of is your illusory energy. So Prabhupada said, that's the fear that we should have. When Prabhupada was in America, he said, there's one problem with you Western boys and girls. You're not enough afraid of Maya. Now, when Prabhupada was referring to Western boys and girls, also referring to you, you know, because you're not what does it mean you're not afraid of Maya? That means you do things. Not only you do your service and become proud of it, but you do things that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, like, I don't know if I should mention, rugby games. I mean, you watch rugby games on the TV. Just like I give that example of many visits ago, I was in Suva, and I was woken up in the middle of the night by everybody chanting Hari Bol, and I found out that they were having the Fiji 7 games in London or somewhere in Europe. And all the devotees, even the women, even I asked Rupanuga's wife, did you watch the game? She said, yes, I watched it. Anyway, right? So the point is, we have nothing against rugby games. Soccer games, rugby games, any type of game, nothing against these things. But the point is that these things cover our consciousness. Avritam ganame kitena ganino nichavayana. These things actually cover us and keep us away from Krishna. Just like if you love someone, anything that is an impediment, you're not interested in. If I say, if you're madly in love, like last night we were talking about someone madly in love, right? You know, I don't know if I should say this, but anyway, there's a poem in English. And also in Italian, it says, when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. Amore means love. So in other words, like the moon hitting your eye, you know what a pizza pie is? No. Pizza. You know what a pizza? Pizza pie is like this big. When the moon hits your eye, picture it happening. That's love. Right? So we were describing what happens. Last night we described all the physiological symptoms, not all of them, but some of the physiological symptoms that occur when someone is in love or lust, as we say. And so if someone gets in your way, for example, let's say you're a young girl and your parents won't let you text your beloved. What do you do? You sneak out. You run away from home. You do what's necessary. You're not going to be separated, isn't it? And the more they try to separate you, the more enthusiastic you become. Just like the story Romeo and Juliet, you remember? The parents try to separate them and actually encourage them. That's one thing you should learn about children. The more you say no, the more they want to do it. Especially with love. Anyway. That's why also Chanaka Pandit says, don't come between a man and his wife, you know, man and woman. It's dangerous. He said also, don't come between a Brahmin and his prasadam either. He said both things, you know, don't come between a Brahmin and his prasadam, and don't come between a man and his wife. You become the enemy of both, Chanaka Pandit says. It's interesting, isn't it? So the reason I'm using that example is you show when someone really loves someone, really is enthusiastic, then they don't want to do anything. Obviously, they don't want to do anything that impedes that. Impedes? That means interferes. They don't want to do anything that impedes or interferes with that meeting the person or the relationship. In fact, everything they do will be done to help that relationship. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, first principle of devotional service is to always remember Krishna. Second principle is to, what? Never forget Krishna. And then accepting everything favorable for devotional service, rejecting everything unfavorable. That's the first two principles. You understand? Those are the first two principles in relationship with, you know, always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. They're very much connected, those two, those four things. So, if one really wants Krishna, then anything not connected with him interferes with their desire, their vision in life. Just like recently I was on the airplane and there was some films being played. You know, airplanes play films. You know that? Movies? Airplanes? So I think you know when you've been on an airplane, they play movies. So they had one movie that I was a little interested in, but I said, how will this help me in Krishna consciousness? How will this connect me with Krishna? I was attracted to the idea of watching the movie. It was some Star Trek movie or something. Anyway, everybody's attracted to different things. The women are attracted to some Bollywood movie. Who is that? Oh, Vivek Oberoi. You've heard of Vivek Oberoi? You have. And you want to know something interesting about him? He's actually doing some fundraising for the Food for Life, for the Sundapani Muni schools. Interesting, isn't it? And he's going to Govardhan. He's going to do some film for me where he actually... That's interesting, isn't it? Where he's going to say, you know, donate for the Govardhan school. And we're going to have a video. That's interesting. Then everybody will give, right? Vivek Oberoi. Of course, when Vivek Oberoi... In 20, 30 years from now, no one will be interested in it. Because he'll look like an old man, right? None of the women. He's like the heartthrob. You know what a heartthrob is? You have that same word here? No. Heartthrob means like, for a woman, it means like she sees a man and goes, boop, 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 the heart. Women have that tendency. Anyway, men have different tendencies. So the point is, you know, so anyway, people attracted different types of Maya. But I was thinking, you know, instead of, you know, you have your rugby games, you know, I have my film, you know, this Star Wars or something like that, I like to see. Or anyway, whatever. And so I was thinking, how will this bring me closer to Krishna? I said, no, I'm not going to watch it. And the mind was saying, yes, you should watch it. It's nice. And the soul was saying, no, you shouldn't watch it. It won't bring you closer to Krishna. And the mind said, but it's not breaking the principles. It's all right. And the soul was saying, the whole discussion going on between the soul and the mind. And the soul said, no, Krishna, you love Krishna. And that soul won. So you have to figure out when does the soul win, and how many times does your soul win, and how many times does your mind win? Think about it. The soul, you know, just like as a rugby game or football or some game. Soul, 50 points. Mind, 51 points. And at the end of the game, you know, the death, we'll declare who the winner is. What do you think about that? It's life is like that. Life is like a game between the soul and the mind. And the mind has on its side the senses. You know, it's like you see the team. Who are the team members? The five senses. Not only the five senses, you know, the perceptive senses, but the five active senses. That's why we have Sankhya, you know, understand? Sankhya philosophy? Sankhya means to enumerate. Actually, the word Sankhya means to enumerate or count. So you're counting the five perceptive senses, the five active senses, you know, like the legs and things like that. And then you have the mind, and then you have the Vinar Prakriti Ashtadhyayi, then you have earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, full cycle. Anyway, that's Sankhya philosophy. So that's on one team. On one team, you have the mind, the material elements. Isn't it before the game they actually announce who the team players are? Is it? If it's a big team on TV, on this team, on Maya's team, we have the mind. We have the five senses, the five active senses, the eightfold material elements, the illusory energy. Let's hear it for this team. You know. What? All the strong, you know, the strong guys. Anyway, the famous players. We have the tongue. The tongue is as strong as there's a tongue. You know, he said, what position do you have in? In the front. And then the mind is the goalie, you know, so. Anyway, that interesting metaphor. So we, this team, and in the other team, we have the soul. No, and super soul. So, you know, you have two people against, you know, 24. Anyway, so, but the idea is Krishna is more powerful. So if the soul takes shelter of Krishna, the super soul, then he can defeat, just like in the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna's side was less powerful than the Kuru's side. I mean, the Kuru's side had Krishna's army. And the Pandava side, you know, basically, of course, they had a lot of Maharatas too. But the Kurus had Bhishma, Karna, you know, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatam, Duryodhana. I mean, you can go down the line. They have much more powerful than the Pandavas. Pandavas were basically five, and they had a few other people. But they had Krishna as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. Like Duryodhana, he was calculating improperly. He said, I want Krishna's army. You understand? Instead of Krishna. And Arjuna said, I just want Krishna as the driver, even though he won't fight. So the point is, if Krishna is on our side, the soul, then we become powerful and we can reject those things that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, which is really interesting. So anyway, so these are impediments. They get in the way. They get in the way of our loving exchange. Just like a young boy or young girl doesn't want anything in the way of their loving exchange. That's the metaphor, example I was giving, right? So we should become so enthusiastic. You know, we should see Maya is like the parent of the young girl who's saying, don't meet with that young boy. That's Maya. And so love should overcome. You know, that's why we call bhakti yoga. Anyway, but even so, we should actually be worried about Maya, like scared. That's the point. Because as soon as you let your guard down, it's like in a game again. Let's go through, let's have that metaphor of our, you know, rugby, football game. As soon as you're inattentive, what happens in a game? As soon as the player is inattentive, what happens? They score a goal. You know, let's say he's playing the game and all of a sudden, you know, he picks up his mobile phone, starts talking to his friend at the mobile in the middle of the game. What happens? He loses. A little bit of inattention. See, it's that same example Prabhupada used. That it's just like a razor's edge. Probably use the example razor's edge. That if you're a little inattentive while you're shaving, probably in the old days they used to use this razor that was just like a big knife. You ever see those before? And they would sharpen them on a piece of leather or something. They still do that? The barbershop? They have that. Yeah, not to cut the hair, but to the sides. And so they go like that. So that's how they, in India, that's how, what they used to use. Now they use safety razors too. So if you're a little inattentive, you can cut off your whole ear. You know, if the barber just starts like dancing around, you know, some Bollywood song while he's cutting your hair, you don't want to go to that barber, right? you don't want to stay away from that barber. So anyway, so that's the point. If you're inattentive, then Maya can come. So a devotee is extremely scared of Krishna's illusory energy and always praying to Krishna to not succumb to this illusory energy, and especially not to succumb to the pride, like Lord Brahma is talking about here, that arises when one performs service. Because when one does service for Krishna, you are able to do amazing things by Krishna's grace. Like Arjuna was able to do amazing things in the battle of Kurukshetra. But when Krishna left the planet, what happened to Arjuna's weapons? They didn't work anymore. He tried, you know, he tried to fight. He couldn't even fire arrows anymore. He had to use his bow, like to beat people away. isn't it? You know that story in the Bhagavatam? He was attacked when he was guarding Krishna's wives. You know the story. Arjuna was taking Krishna's wives out of Dwarka after Krishna had left the planet. And he was attacked by a band of dacoits. And Arjuna's bow didn't work. He couldn't fire arrows. There were no more arrows in the quiver. And then he finally had to use his bow to try to just like hit people away. It just didn't work anymore. So the point is, if we don't have Krishna, then we can't fight our battle. We can't win. So that's the main thing. So we have to be very careful not to succumb to pride. As they say in the West, pride comes before the fall. It means you become proud and you fall. And Queen Kunti also prays like this. What does she say? Janmaishwarya Shutasya Shibir Edamana Da Puman. She says, I pray not to become proud of my birth, my opulence, my learning, or my beauty. Like that. Twama Kinchida Gochara. I understand that I have none of these things. Everything comes from you, Krishna. You're lending me these things, lending me intelligence, you're lending me my beauty, my body, my strength, and it can all be taken away. Like we see, Krishna by his time factor takes away the ability or the strengths that we have. Isn't that what we see? Even devotees, you know, they get older, you know, sometimes they're just lying on a bed, they can't do anything. It can all be taken away, so we shouldn't be so proud. Like, you're all so young here, some of you. But you're also young, you're just so proud, you know, thinking, you know. I remember even when I first came to Fiji, we were playing, not first, but I mean after a few years, we were playing volleyball every day. And I was so proud, you know, I'm playing volleyball, you know, like that. But now, you know, even after a few years, I play volleyball, I hurt my wrist, I throw out my shoulder, you know, like that. It's not, you can't do it anymore. So Krishna's taken away this. That's all right. Makes one sober. So any questions, comments, arguments? Yeah.
Can you explain that when you say Maya and holding is the same soul as the soul? So instead of attentive, Maya will make...
That's right. That's right.
The
super soul is just giving you advice. It's just you on the other side.
Yes, only alone.
Yeah, he's not a player in the team.
Yeah, and plus we're not dependent on the super soul as well.
Yeah, we have to be dependent in every minute. Krishna says in Gita, in every endeavor, in the result, always be dependent on me and work always under my protection. And if you don't do that, that's false ego. Yes, so if we don't take shelter of the super soul, then there's no one else on our team. You know, we're against this whole big team, you know. Just imagine it, you know, a soccer game, just use some mook against, you know, whatever the best team in the world is, you know. Who's the best team in the world? Huh?
All Blacks.
New Zealand's the best team in the world? In rugby. So let's say just on one side is you and the other side is the All Blacks team. Like gorillas, you know, or something like that. But even if you were fighting them in rugby and Krishna was giving you instructions, you'd be able to defeat them. Because actually, more important than material strength is agility. You know, understand agility? So if Krishna says, because he knows past, present, and future. Krishna says, move there, and you move there, then he knows where they're, how they're going to move. Just like in rugby or any game, before they go in the game, they plan out their different moves, isn't it? They have different moves. They plan it out on a board. They say, you're here, you're here, you're there. So if you have intelligence, you can defeat anyone. Even in sports. Yeah.
We forget that we are soul. We don't remember, I don't remember that I'm a spirit.
Yeah, you think you're the body.
Yes,
so?
How can we remember that we are soul?
It takes practice. He takes constant practice. Hearing regularly, just bringing the mind back, remembering our position as servants of Krishna. Now you got to practice every day. It's like practice. I mean, like, there's like these, I mean, using the sports analogy again, they practice every day. I mean, what happens if the sporting teams go like 2 weeks without any practice, or the man doesn't exercise for 2 weeks? They lose their ability. I mean, the muscles just, like, instead of going up here, they go down there. Isn't it? Yeah, I mean, we got to regularly practice. Go to the training sessions. You know, that's what we're here. It's Bhagavatam, devotional service in practice. Isn't it? Vaidhi Bhakti. I mean, later on when you're pure, you don't need to practice. You're perfect. It's just like spontaneous every day, you know. You get up early every day, jai, hari bol. But now, you need an alarm clock. Even this morning, someone's alarm clock went off, and it was going off for a whole hour. I don't know if you noticed that. We were chanting japa, and I kept hearing someone's alarm clock going off. Did you? You didn't notice that. I don't know. Whose alarm clock was it? Yours? What? Of an Avinodini's alarm clock. So that's practice. You got to have a coach, right? Every team has a coach? Of course. And the coach is making you practice. You don't want to. He says, run! Jump! And you got to do it. If you say, no, I just want to play the game, coach. Call me. Call me when the game is there, you know. Right now I'm going to the bar, you know. You won't be on the team. You got to show up for every practice if you want to play on the team. Obviously. So it's the same thing with Krishna consciousness. You got to practice day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Isn't it? Nitya means always. It also means eternal, but in this particular context, it means always. You've always got to practice. And it's a struggle. You've got to struggle with the mind every day. It's difficult. I mean, there's always these tests. You're always going to have tests every day, you know. It's worse than school. School, at least you only have tests, what, 2 or 3 times in the session. But every day you have, every minute you're having tests. You know, it's the Fiji 7th game tonight. It's at midnight. So that's a test. You should see it like that. It's not just like, oh, it's all right, you know, Krishna will understand. It's a test. I mean, it's all right, it's your choice. We're not going to condemn you for making your choice. But you're like the player. Let's continue the sports analogy. You're like the player. The soul's on. This is such a, it's such a funny analogy. I have to continue it. But the soul is on one team against all the other players. But what you're doing is leaving your team, and there's no one else on your team, and joining the other team. You're saying, "Oh, too many people. I'm joining that team." God, and then isn't, you know, then you win. Then the other team wins because there's no one to fight against. Actually, in the Battle of Kurukshetra, one of the Kurus actually left the Kuru side and joined the Pandava side. You remember? Who was that? Yeah, what was his name? It's easy to remember. Vikarna. He was the only one who objected to the attempted disrobing of Draupadi. The only one. Of course, the only one of the Kurus, of course. I mean, some other people objected. Like Vidura also objected. But the only one of the Kurus who actually objected to it. And Vikarna. So Vikarna switched sides in the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Interesting. So we shouldn't switch sides. If you do it, that's up to you, you know. What can I do? You have a choice. But it's a battle. Every day it's a battle. And every day it's another game. Yeah, but you're leaving the super soul side going to the other team. That's your problem. Isn't it? Or you're expecting super soul to do everything. You're just sitting on the field and saying, oh, Krishna, do everything, you know. I'm fully surrendered. I just want to eat prasadam. What's that? You had a question?
guided by Krishna, using our intelligence, we are able to control our mind.
Yes. Krishna gives us the ability, but we have to do it.
Yeah. What happens to the intelligence when we don't have Krishna on our side?
Then the intelligence is affected by goodness, passion, or ignorance. It's under the modes of material nature. It's avashuddha buddhiya, as Krishna says in the Gita, it's impure intelligence. Then the intelligence directs us to do something that takes us away from Krishna. In different ways, goodness, passion, and ignorance. That's why we always... But wherever there is Krishna, I mean, that's the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there's always victory, right? There's always victory. So if we stay on Krishna's side, there'll be victory, even though we're opposing this whole giant army. Mama Maya Duratriya. Actually, I like that example, the sporting team. I just thought about that this morning. Just as I was giving class. Most interesting thoughts come as I'm giving class. Didn't even plan it out like that. Okay, any other questions? Time to greet the deities, or are they going to be late? If they're going to be late, we can have Guru Puja first. What? They're going to be on time? Well, why don't you check? You never know.